Welcome to Sermons from First Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto. Each week, we share a recording of the Sunday sermon, offering theologically progressive, social justice-oriented reflections grounded in Scripture and what's happening in our lives and in the world. Most weeks, the sermon is preached by our pastor, the Reverend Tom Harris, and from time to time, we're joined by guest preachers. The following sermon is from the 10 a.m. service on April 12, 2026, the second Sunday of Easter. Reverend Harris reflects on the story of John 20, in which Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Some see this as John's version of the Pentecost story. Reverend Harris shares some theological background about the Holy Spirit and then explores the ways John emphasized the Spirit's work on our lives today.
Well, congratulations. You're attending church on a rainy day, and you're attending church on the Sunday after Easter. So you all get gold stars. Two gold stars for everybody. You know, some people think of this story as Gospel of John's version of the Pentecost, or the giving of the Holy Spirit to humanity. And so today I want to spend some time talking a little more in depth about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about her very much, and I think that we should talk about her more. The Holy Spirit, or Hagios Pneuma, holy breath, holy wind, is actually much more important in the New Testament than she is for most of us today. And I think we would do well to reconsider how we think about her. Now, I'm not going to go into a long explanation of why I use the feminine pronoun for the Spirit, but suffice it to say that if the second person of the Trinity took the form of a man in the person of Jesus, it just seems only fair that the third person of the Trinity should be female. Now, there's a solid tradition behind that, but I won't go into it here. To introduce the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you a story. This is a narrative summary of the three persons of the Trinity based on the biblical narrative. And you don't have to believe any of this as sort of a real story. Just listen for it. I love the line from your song, something about fiction being truer than truth. That was incredible. I was recently listening to a Buddhist story about Buddha and Mara. And what I was struck by is I didn't feel any compulsion to believe it was factual. And I found so much richness and truth in the story. And so I think if we all can have a little bit more, hold our Christian stories a little more lightly, we might appreciate the truth in them even more. So here's the story. In the beginning, God created the universe, including the earth, and the people and all living things. Then God, as creator, formed a unique and faithful relationship with a particular people. In the Bible, that is the people of Israel. But the thing about that is, even if we, you know, that triggers for us ideas of Israel being the chosen people and all of the issues that that raises, what's very clear from the biblical story is that those particular people failed over and over and over again to meet God's expectations for that relationship. That's not to pick on them in particular, it's a human thing. It's part of our humanity that God wants a relationship with us that we don't always return that desire. And so in this story, God wants this relationship with a particular people, and God tries multiple strategies to make that relationship work, including pledging eternal faithfulness, offering great rewards, offering severe punishments, liberating from slavery, inflicting those punishments and giving those rewards, making compromises with the people in the form of the relationship, renouncing the pledge of faithfulness, then offering forgiveness again. And point by point, this group of people just couldn't get it, which again is not a particular indictment on any group of people. That's how we are. That's how humanity is. Then, according to the story, God decided to try a new strategy. And that strategy was to become human in Jesus, to take the relationship to a different level. But by becoming human, it was no longer possible to think of the relationship in terms of exclusivity. It now had to be thought of as universal, that God had become human, was a human, and so God's relationship with humanity was forever changed to this universal experience. In this Jesus, God showed all humanity, not just a particular group, but all of us, what love looked like in human form, so that Jesus taught us about love, Jesus demonstrated love to us, and Jesus gave his life for the world. That archetypal image that I mentioned last Sunday at the font of the self-emptying of God or the self-emptying of us for the sake of life-giving for others. And that's what the story of Jesus' divine self-emptying was on the cross. As Jesus died on the cross and then ascended, we're still following the story, God did not want to leave humanity alone. So Jesus has sort of exited stage right from the story, but God did not want to leave us alone, so God sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to love us, to inspire us. Now the seminarian in me has to tell you that according to Trinitarian theology, all three of those persons, God, Christ, and Spirit, are the same person, and they're all present at each step along the way. Even while the human experience was particular, all three were working together. Don't worry about it. But the important thing for us today is that in this narrative presentation, where are we? Where are we now, 2,000 years later, 2,000 years after Jesus? Where are we in the story? We are still in spirit time. We are still in the time where the Holy Spirit is our primary experience of God. So if we have a sense of God's presence today, it's through the Holy Spirit. If we are praying to God, it's through the Holy Spirit. If we are worshiping together today, it's through the Spirit. If we're advocating for others or doing justice in the world, it's through the Spirit. Which is not how I think most of us think about it. I think we like to talk mostly about Jesus. We like Jesus, we like to study the teachings of Jesus, we love Jesus, we want to practice his teachings. But according to the story, this is actually spirit time. And if we read the Acts of the Apostles or the epistles of Paul or even the non-Pauline epistles, it's very clear that for the early church, their primary purpose was to encourage people and lead people to an experience of the Holy Spirit. That they didn't talk about Jesus as much. Paul almost never quotes Jesus, but he's very interested in how people can have this spiritual experience of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that was an introduction to our passage this morning, because as I said, many people think of this story from the Gospel of John as John's version of the Pentecost. If you've been in churches for many, many years, you've probably heard the Acts chapter 2 story of the Pentecost every Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. Like the disciples after Jesus died were kind of gathered, trying to figure out what to do, and they were praying. And then they had this ecstatic experience of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire from the sky. They could speak in other languages. Lucy Gengigian's painting is a representation of Pentecost too. So you see the people, you see the tongues of fire. And the birds aren't mentioned in Pentecost too, but the doves are another symbol of the Spirit that she's added into that painting. So that's Acts 2, but John is a very different kind of gospel. So it makes sense that John would offer us a different version of the Pentecost. In this story that we read, Jesus gives the Spirit to the disciples by breathing on them. As Jesus prepares to leave earth, like this is one of his last sightings before he exits stage right, but he wants to leave them with this helper, this advocate, this Spirit. And in fact, there's a whole section in the Gospel of John where Jesus talks about leaving this advocate or this helper or this Spirit. And so that's what's happening here, this breathing on the disciples and giving the Spirit before Jesus departs. So I just want to make two observations about the text. First, it seems that according to this text, a primary power of the Spirit that the Spirit gives us is the ability to forgive people. Now, there's a lot of debate about that line. It's in verse 22 and 23. Then Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." And people have wondered, like, what does that mean? Does that mean the disciples are being given the power of God to decide who is forgiven and who's not? But I don't read it that way. I read this as a description of how forgiveness works on the ground for all of us. And so if you forgive someone who has wronged you, they are forgiven by you. And if you don't forgive someone who has harmed you, they aren't forgiven by you. Jesus is emphasizing here to the disciples, hey guys, now it's up to you. You get to decide how this is going to go. Now, real quick on forgiveness, we can't do a whole sermon on forgiveness, so let me just give you some bullet points. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not an invitation for someone to hurt you again. But forgiveness is a letting go of our resentments and our grudges, because when we hold on to those things, we're only hurting ourselves. Like if somebody has harmed us and we're mad about it and we're going to hold on to that anger and that grudge and go on about our lives, that person doesn't care. We're living our lives all burnt up and bent out of shape and resentful. The person we've harmed is going on about their life. It's like that saying, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So Jesus is saying here, hey, I'm giving you my spirit. I'm giving you my spirit of love, my spirit of grace, my spirit of courage. You now have the spirit of God. What are you going to do with it? Will you hold on to your grudges and your resentments? Will you carry those things around on your back for the rest of your life? Or are you going to put them down? The choice is yours. I've given you the power. In some ways, I think this is kind of like a pep talk. And this is my second observation about the text. The disciples are feeling down. They're confused. Jesus has died. They didn't expect that. They're locked in a room together. They're scared and lost. And Jesus appears to them. He comes to them and he's like, hey, get up. Get out of here. I'm giving you my spirit. Go. Thomas, you want to touch my hands? Is that what you need? Fine, touch my hands. Go ahead. But get up and get out of this room. You know, it's often read as this peaceful exchange. And fair enough, because it says, my peace I give to you twice. But then we kind of imagine Jesus breathing on them like, but I think it was much more of a pep talk, like, go! Here it is! Here's the spirit! Get out of here! Did you see the viral clip of the University of Maryland women's basketball coach Brenda Frezza yelling at her star player, Aluchi Okananwa? They were playing, and I don't do many sports metaphors, so here we go. They were playing UNC in the NCAA tournament, and Okananwa, the star player, was really struggling. She was missing shots, she was missing free throws, she was missing blocks and defensive assignments, and the coach Frezza pulled her out of the game and just screamed at her on the sidelines in the face. Now, we're going to watch that clip in a second. One of the wonderful things about the internet, though, is the original video doesn't have audio. We can't tell what she's saying, so somebody did lip reading to figure out what she's saying, and that's what we're going to listen to now. Oh, we need sound, Kelly. Okay, try again. How many have seen this clip?
On the ground. And at that point, their teammates help her up, but then coach says, I'm gonna help you off this court. Let's give you a breather. Come chat with me for a second. And while the game is going on, while the ball is being inbounded, we get the conversation that everyone has seen. There she is. The play is happening, and she's just getting talked to on the sideline. And there's a little bit at the beginning that wasn't part of the viral clip where it starts with this. And you've got to make a decision right now for this team. And that is my septum part of you. It's who you are. I need you to lock in. Stop being distracted. Right? I believe in you, but you've got to want this the most. This isn't my story. All right? All right, break.
Okay. And I think that's what Jesus was doing to the disciples. It's like, you've got to make a decision, guys. You are part of the risen body of Christ. This is who you are. It's the most important part of who you are. So lock in. Stop being distracted. Stop being afraid. I believe in you. You've got to want this the most. And then I love that last line. This isn't my story anymore. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples in that upper room. This isn't my story anymore. This is your story. I think that's the speech we all need right now. And I want to show you one more clip, because some of that, some people saw that and they were like, "That was that over the top? Did the coach cross a line there? Was she being inappropriate? What was going on?" And so this is Okinawa's post-game press conference where she talks about that moment.
Coach understands I'm a competitor at heart, and I've told her this before, and I'll keep on telling her this until forever. I love to be coached hard, and that's what she does with me every single day. And really what that was a regroup moment for myself and her telling me she believed in me, because sometimes that's really all you need to hear to get back out there. You know, it's a long game, lots of ups and downs, and I feel like after that conversation, that's when I really went back out and just did what I had to do for my team in that moment. So I'm forever appreciative.
What an attitude, right? I think that's the attitude we all need to have as well. So if the Spirit is giving us this pep talk right now, but it's not quite so cut and dry for us today, because we don't know what the Spirit's saying sometimes. It's hard to discern. We don't have Jesus in our face telling us something and breathing on us. We have the Spirit. And what are we going to listen to of what the Spirit is saying? Can we have Okinawa's attitude of, I need to be coached right now. I don't know what's going on in the world right now. Things are out of control. I'm not doing what I feel like I should be doing. I want to be coached. I want to be taught. I want to be led. And I said, the Spirit isn't telling us and screaming at us right now, but maybe she is. Maybe every time we read the news today and hear about the latest atrocities of the U.S. government against some innocent people, maybe that's the Spirit saying, hey, wake up. Stop being distracted. This is a part of who you are. Maybe whenever we hear the latest news of another concentration camp being opened on U.S. soil, the Spirit is screaming at us, hey, lock in. This is what it's all about. Is this your story? I think this is your story. You've got to get out there and do something about this. Are you willing to listen for what the Spirit is saying? Are we willing to be coached? Are we willing to have that humble attitude to hear what the Spirit is saying to us and answer that call? Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You are a part of the risen body of Christ. It is a part of who you are. You need to lock in. Stop being distracted. I believe in you, but you've got to want this the most. This isn't my story. This is your story. You have the power of God's Spirit to offer grace and forgiveness, to offer accountability. Get out of this room, get out of here, and start living your story. Amen.
Thanks for listening to sermons from First Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto, located at 1140 Cowper Street in Palo Alto, California. If you'd like to worship with us, we gather Sundays at 10 a.m., both in person and online. And you can find more information about our congregation, worship, and ministries at fpcpaloalto.org. We hope to see you soon.